Did you know that saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian? Here's Skip Heitzig.
Every verbal profession needs visual proof. It's not just the one who says, but the one who does as well. You know, James, well, you know what it says. Faith without works is dead, lifeless, useless. Faith without works is dead. A large percentage of Americans claim that they're Christians. 35% of Americans claim to be one step above Christians, the born-again Christians. 35%. Are they? Are 35% of Americans Christians? I don't know. I don't. But I do know you aren't one necessarily just because you say you are one, or because you say Lord. Because you have the right language, you use the right words, you play the right part.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Remember the movie Catch Me If You Can? In this true story, the young Frank Abagnale realizes that making fake checks is not only a talent, but for him, it's a career path, allowing him to pose as an airline pilot, a doctor, and a prosecutor before he's caught by the ever-vigilant Carl Hanratty. Well, today here in The Connection, we'll see that so many people live their spiritual lives a bit like Abagnale, proclaiming a connection with a God they don't actually know. Now, we're nearing the end of this series, Who Is This Jesus? With this message, Are You a Follower or a Fake? And we'll get to it here in just a moment, but we wanted to let you know that you can help pave the way for The Connection to provide solid Bible teaching for people who may have never heard the gospel and don't have access to a church. You know, we regularly hear from prisoners and pastors who are greatly impacted by Pastor Skip's teachings. Would you join us in this endeavor? You can support the ministry when you visit skipheitzig.com and click donate, or by calling 1-800-922-1888. Or you can write The Connection, that's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. We sure appreciate your one-time gifts and your monthly support. You know, our actions have to line up with our words. And we'll talk more about that today on this edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig.
And make the connection.
Matthew chapter 7 is the focus of our study today. Are you a follower or a fake? Let's join Pastor Skip for this anecdote about a goat who wanted to be a lion.
Once upon a time, there was a goat. And this little goat, more than anything else, wanted to be a lion. And the way the goat figured it, that if he could learn to walk like a lion and talk like a lion and go where lions go, that he would eventually become a lion. So he tried it, and he practiced. First of all, he practiced walking like lions walk. And so picture the little goat trying to stalk through the jungle, a stalking goat. Then the little goat started swishing its stubby little tail majestically. And to convert that pitiful little bleat into a deep, awesome roar, just didn't quite work. But this goat tried and tried, and finally this goat convinced himself that he actually looked like a lion and sounded like a lion, and the only thing left was to go where lions go. So one day he found where all the lions were, and he went in among them, oh, around lunchtime. End of story, end of goat. There are people who actually, like the goat in the story, believe that if I can walk like Christians walk and go where Christians go, that I'll be one. So they go to church and they listen to sermons and they read the Bible and they sing songs, and they get the feeling that they're going to deserve heaven because of that. And yet Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For the last 8 weeks, we did a series on the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And I know I said that last week was the last message on it. And it was, sort of. This is a little bit of a change. This is a cap on it. You see, we have looked at the uniqueness of Jesus Christ philosophically, historically, prophetically. We've viewed evidence for the validity of Scripture. We have viewed evidence for creation. We have looked at Jesus in a world of pain and how he responded to it. We have seen his victorious resurrection. And now I want to ask this, so what? So what? That's what makes Jesus so unique. My question this morning is, what makes you and I so unique? What makes a Christian unique? If we follow this Jesus Christ, the unique one, he ought to have a unique impact on our lives. And you see, a Christian is somebody who knows Jesus, follows Jesus, listens to Jesus, and obeys Jesus. Today is a day of examination, you might say, self-examination. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said to the Corinthian Christians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Or as one translation puts it, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really authentic. Well, in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, you can see it's the end of it. After the red letters, there's a few black letters, and then chapter 8. It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is pretty much done. As he ends the Sermon on the Mount, the tone is a little bit different here. It's a warning. It's not just teaching, it's a warning to those who are listening. It's an admonitory tone. And so get ready for that admonition as we examine ourselves this morning. Jesus has been speaking a sermon to a group of observers, a group of listeners. Not all of them are followers. Not all of them are disciples. But this is what I want you to note. The Sermon on the Mount was given to a group of people who were not unreligious. In fact, many of them in the crowd were obsessed with religion. You might say they had a form of godliness. They had watched. They had listened. They were attached in some superficial way to the kingdom without being saved. And so Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And according to Jesus Christ, if I'm reading this text correctly, some will find out they're not a part of the kingdom when it's too late. Many will come to me in that day. In what day? Judgment day. The day. The end day. The final day. The showdown, man. And in that day, they're going to say, we did, we said. And Jesus is going to say, it's too late. I once had a conversation with a clergyman before I was a Christian. I said, am I going to heaven? I was searching. I was looking for answers. I was trying to find people who could give them to me. And he wasn't one of them. I said, am I going to go to heaven? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'd like to know how to get there and if I'm going to go there. And he said to me, well, no one really knows until they die. Until they die? I don't want to be irreverent, Reverend, but isn't that a little too late to find out you were wrong when you die? In 1912, the Titanic set out on its maiden voyage. You know the story. Another vessel in the area radioed the Titanic and warned them of icebergs in the vicinity. The Titanic had all of the information, but they didn't take appropriate action. And that's the underlying theme this morning and of this section. You can have all of the right information, but information without action can lead to destruction. Jesus seems to speak about a group of people who in that day, well, they were making the right speech, but they were missing the right stuff. Let's look at it a little more closely, shall we? We're going to look at verse 21 all the way down to verse 27, but making the right speech is the first section of it. Not everyone who says, that's the real issue here, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day. I'm bothered by that word, many. I don't know, for some reason I wish it would say there's going to be just a few, maybe one out of a thousand, but the word many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They're saying things to Jesus. They're saying all the right things. Now, when I was first introduced to born-again Christians, when I was about 17 years of age, I noticed that Christians had their own vocabulary, their own spiritual language. Christianese, I called it. There were certain words that if you were uninitiated, it just didn't make sense. You know, their own special language. They'd come up to me and they'd say, are you washed by the blood? I'd say, what? How do you get washed by blood? I didn't know what they were talking about. Well, are you saved and sanctified and sealed by the Spirit? Huh? And then I noticed there were four recurrent phrases that Christians used. Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And I just heard those a lot. I didn't quite understand. They just kind of erupted out of people every now and then. Whoa. And then I got more used to it. Then there even came a time where with true conviction I could say those things. They're wonderful things to say. And it's a wonderful acknowledgement to say, Jesus is Lord, Lord, Lord. It shows respect. It shows that you're orthodox, you're right, you're true. It would indicate that. And then notice that it's not just Lord, but it's repeated twice. Lord, Lord. Whenever you have a word repeated twice, it speaks of emphasis. In this case, devotion, zeal, passion. Here's somebody passionate, it seems, zealous about the Lord. They're saying the right thing passionately. And then notice three times the recurrent phrase, in your name. We've said this in your name. We've done that in your name. And these powerful works in your name. All of that to say, here you have somebody standing before Jesus in the final day of judgment with the right verbal profession. But here's Jesus' point. Every verbal profession needs visual proof. It's not just the one who says, but the one who does as well. You know, James, well, you know what it says. Faith without works is dead, lifeless, useless. Faith without works is dead. A large percentage of Americans claim that they're Christians. 35% of Americans claim to be one step above Christians, the born-again Christians. 35%. Are they? Are 35% of Americans Christians? I don't know. I don't. But I do know you aren't one necessarily just because you say you are one. Or because you say, Lord. Because you have the right language, you use the right words, you play the right part. I'll never forget the day I got to meet Charlton Heston. I'd always wanted to meet him, you know. He was Moses. That was my first introduction to him. So he came to town and I was going to be able to meet him. And I don't know, I kind of half expected him to say, let my people go, or something like that. And I got to meet Charlton Heston. He was a nice guy, but he was not Moses, let me tell you. And just because you have played a part or played a role or say the right words doesn't mean you're a Christian. And Jesus would say, Not everyone who would say, I'm a Christian, is necessarily a Christian. A nominal Christian, a fake Christian, is somebody who has the eternal language without having eternal life. It's somebody who says Jesus is Lord, but doesn't submit to Jesus as Lord. That's the reason Billy Graham once said, and you come. No, I'm just kidding. He said, sorry. Our evangelistic crusades find both the greatest challenge and the greatest response among church members. Greatest challenge and greatest response in evangelism are among church members. Something else to notice in our text. It's not just the guy who says, Lord, Lord, but he points to other words. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? You know, a prophet is a spokesman. Somebody who prophesies represents God to people, speaks on behalf of God. These are God's spokesmen. Which tells me that this warning is not just to people who sit in the pew, but people who stand in the pulpit. The seminary graduate, the clergy. Now, how can that be? I mean, is it possible for somebody to be trained in the scripture or stand behind a pulpit and have a religious position of a leader and still be unsaved? Case in point, Apollos in the New Testament, an Alexandrian Jew. It says he was an eloquent man, mighty in scripture, but he only preached Jesus as a moral man, an ethical teacher. He only preached the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't know any other facts past that. And so they instructed him in the full gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here was a guy with a message, and he was unsaved. So just because a guy is behind a pulpit or walks around with a roving microphone, or has a collar on, or a robe on, or a tie on, or, in my case, a blue shirt without a tie, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person is saved. Martin Luther was convicted and concerned over his own soul, so he joined a monastery, an Augustinian monastery in Erfurt, Germany. He studied theology. He was ordained to the priesthood. He became a doctor of theology. He lectured on the Bible. He had all the right knowledge, all the right language, all the right wording, but he was not saved, his own admission. One time we called people forward at a Christmas Eve service. And at that altar call, one of the people who came forward, an elderly gentleman with tears in his eyes, I came down to introduce myself to him, and he introduced himself to me. He said, I have been an elder in a church for years. But I've got to tell you, Skip, I have not known Jesus Christ till just a few moments ago when I asked him into my heart. I knew all the right words. I did all the right things. But I didn't know him. Speaking of that, look at the rest of that verse. Not only have we prophesied in your name, look at that. We've cast out demons in your name and did many wonders in your name. So here's a person who made not only the claims that Jesus Christ is Lord, not only did they have some kind of a participation in proclaiming that message, but they even did some pretty wonderful deeds, wonderful works. Wonders is the word. Greek, it's dunamis, works of great power. Now, some of you might read this and think, do we have a contradiction here? Is this a contradiction of the scripture? Because here's a guy who said the right things, and it sounds like he did the right things. In fact, in verse 21, Jesus said, it's not the one who says, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, wouldn't it be the Father's will to proclaim, to prophesy? Wouldn't it be the Father's will to cast demons out of those who are shackled by the devil? Wouldn't it be God's will to do great, wonderful works in his name? It would be God's will. Well, then why isn't it enough? Because, and here's the core, you can be making the right speech but missing the right stuff. Here's a person doing all of the right things, saying the right things, but missing something very crucial. Two things. First of all, he's missing a lifestyle. Look in verse 23. then I will declare. Okay, now once that person has stated his case, I've done, I've said, Jesus said, now I'm going to say something. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. It's a profession without a practice. A profession without a practice. I read about a doctor. Well, they thought he was a doctor for years. He practiced medicine. He was only a third-year medical student, never finished medical school. But he put MD at the end of his name, hung up the little plaque on the door, treated patients. Some of them got worse. Some of them died. So they got suspicious and they investigated this guy that he wasn't a doctor. He had the profession of being a doctor, but he had the practice of a third-year medical student. And so it is with a Christian. You might say certain things, but what is the lifestyle like? Notice that Jesus uses the word practice. I think that's a good translation. You practice lawlessness. That's a present participle in Greek. It speaks of continuous action. I'll declare unto them, I never knew you, because you continually, habitually, as your lifestyle, don't practice righteousness, but you practice lawlessness. In other words, spiritual language and mighty works can all be negated by a wicked, sinful lifestyle. The issue here is obedience. Are you living obediently to the will of God as a lifestyle? I didn't ask if you're perfect. It's not the issue. But is your lifestyle one of habitually, continually practicing the will of God? Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I say?" Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Obedience proves a relationship. Be careful with this and listen carefully. I said obedience proves the relationship. It doesn't produce the relationship. You don't get saved by being obedient. You come to Christ by faith, but then what proves that you belong to Christ? This. Obedience works. It proves that you're already saved by faith. Irma Bombeck, when she was alive, said something really classic, profound, I think. She said, never go to a doctor whose houseplants have died. That's insightful. I mean, if this doctor can't take care of simple life forms, like a plant, you're going to trust him with your complex body, your life? And it's true, isn't it? Even spiritually, it's true. Why would an unbeliever want to go to somebody who professes to be a Christian and get direction for their life if that person seems lost themselves?
A lifestyle of obedience is produced by a heart that's filled with faith in God. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow when The Connection returns with Skip Heitzig. The teaching you just heard is titled, Are You a Follower or a Fake? And it's just one part of our current series, Who is This Jesus? Now, we'll have ordering information in just a moment. But first, I want to let you know about this important resource package we've created for the month of October.
Vampires, mediums, and the occult dominate TV, the bestseller list, and your family computer. So are they harmless fun, or is there more to them? It's important to be sure. And that's why Skip Heitzig put together the documentary DVD, Shattered, Exposing Windows of Evil. It includes 24 interviews that will help you look at these issues in an informed way.
Evil has never had more allies in the media than now. But God's grace can shatter every deception and reveal the truth about Jesus Christ.
We've bundled the Shattered DVD with 2 insightful books. Be encouraged by Warren Wiersbe's book, The Strategy of Satan, and be informed with the C.S. Lewis classic, The Screwtape Letters. That's the October resource package from The Connection. Order yours today for just $30 at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888.
Well, it's easy to get a copy of our current series, Who is This Jesus? We only have a couple of days left in the series, so you won't want to miss out. It's available as an audio CD package for the special price of $42, and you can order today at skipheitzig.com or by calling 1-800-922-1888. And if you enjoy listening to Pastor Skip each day, perhaps you'd appreciate his podcast delivered direct to you. You can sign up at skipheitzig.com, and the link is under the Teaching tab. That will get you the Connection podcast delivered as an audio file to your email each day. That way you'll never have to miss another broadcast.
And make the connection.
The conclusion of our series, Who is This Jesus?, is coming up Monday when The Connection returns. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.